Welcome to Voices Love of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
Hey, it's great to be here with you this morning, and it's always great to talk about Jesus. We'll get right into it. I was just thinking this morning about the greatest self-help book that has ever been written. And you that listen a lot will know where I'm going with this. But what amazes me more than anything is this billion-dollar book industry of people buying self-help books. And I had a couple of them, and one of them I'm holding here in my hand now, and it's called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And there was another one, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. So I'm familiar with them. And the original copies, or I can't say they were original copies, but the copies I read back when I was 15, 16 years old, they gave the Bible credit for where they drew their inspiration and information. So we'll get in here and check it out and just let you see a little bit, because what I'm learning is you got to take Jesus outside the church house. People think it's two different worlds. They think you come in and you be a Christian in the church, and then you go out of the church, and then you do your business or whatever you got to do to survive. And I think if you take Jesus outside the church, that life might get a little easier on you. It might just get a little bit easier as far as the daily grind of what you've got to deal with. And then the idea that you're looking forward to something someday, because, you know, we can easily get bombarded with the negative and the problems of the day. But when we start to look around and start to see that there is a master plan here, and in the master plan, you know, God's going to do some things for us if we'll respond to Him and do something for Him, which is namely just to surrender to Him. So there's not a big bunch of work that I can do. There's not a, you know, there's not a worksheet or a flow chart to get me to heaven. But there's some things that I need to do to surrender down in order to give Jesus an opportunity to work in my life. Okay? Now, I'm going to use this book for an example here today that Napoleon Hill wrote, this Think and Grow Rich, because the very first thing that it talks about here is a desire. And that's chapter, hold on there a second. I'm in the dark here, so not in the dark, but I find that the old eyesight is just about gone there, if you know what I mean. Chapter 1, well, they're calling that the introduction. And, well, let me give you this introduction because, I mean, that's pretty good. It talks about the man who thought himself into a partnership with Thomas Edison. And it just basically is giving you an idea there that, you know, your ideas are things, okay? And with Jesus, if I go to Matthew chapter 5, not only are my ideas important, okay, but the wrong idea or thinking the wrong thing can even be sin. And we don't stop and think about our thoughts being sin anymore. But Jesus says, if I think about it, I just as well be guilty of it, or I am guilty of it, is what he says. So we've got to guard our thoughts. Now, I could go on through and read you more in that chapter about the man who thought himself into a partnership with Thomas Edison. But the next chapter is a desire. We've all got this built-in desire to be important. We want to be important. I mean, we've all got that. Your preacher can say he's humble and he's all this, but he's the one standing up in front of everybody commanding the attention at church, you see. He's the one probably with his name on the parking meter or parking spot right in front of the door to church, which, you know, maybe you need that. I don't know. But for the most part, the greatest serve others, Jesus said. So we've got a lot to think about. So when our desire comes out, what is my desire? Is it to be the best that I can be in this world? Well, if it is, I'm going to fall short of God's standard. It's just about as plain as you can be. Because I take you back, as I do many times, to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, I am a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ once I get saved. So when I get saved, guess where we're at on this thing, okay? Because I'm saved now, you see, I've got a duty, a responsibility And it's so much better than the other part of this thing is I could be a dead sacrifice like the rest of the sacrifices in history. So his desire, his ambition, should I want to do my best? You know, is there something wrong with that? I don't know that there is, okay? But the thing is, when my desire is on Jesus Christ and his plan for my life, all the other things fall in line. Because when I play, I can play hard, but I play fair, right? When I am in a battle, I've got something to anchor myself to that most won't have when I'm battling against them, right? And then the thing that we quickly get into here is we start to realize this thing called a faith. To have a desire for something, and the faith is believing that I'm going to be able to receive it. So if I go through my life believing that I have a desire to be wealthy, I have the faith in the fact that if I do this, this, and that, I'm going to receive that, then I'm happy and content. Well, just about everybody you talk to has got problems. About everybody out there, there's something going on in their life. So the point of it all is this. We have got to be careful here and have faith in the right things, you see, because this book is about the steps toward riches. But I'm telling you right now, if your desire isn't toward the right things, there'll be no riches. If you don't have faith in a positive outcome in your life, it's going to be a bad situation. So there's so much to this. But I think it's interesting that the faith pops up there, okay? There's no limitations to the mind except those we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offspring of thought. Once again, what do we talk about here? Well, the idea, okay, is this. The idea is the thoughts that go through my mind, the things I take in my eye gate, my ear gate, right? The things that I process in, they're going to be the things I keep my mind on, right? And then they talk about something called auto-suggestion, and this is the opportunity or the way that you and me go through our life here in such a way that we are able to, you know, if we focus, if we put our mind on the right things, great things can happen, right? So with Jesus, it's the very same thing. We want the great things to happen with Jesus Christ. Why do we want that? Right? Why do we want great things to happen? Well, because in this book, it brings us to the specialized knowledge that they talk about in chapter 5. Now, what do I need with specialized knowledge? I'm telling you right now. Every single person listening to this program today and everybody that sees this post go out on Facebook, every one of us had better get some specialized knowledge. The only place I can get the true specialized knowledge is out of this thing called the Bible. Because you and I live in a day and time when there's so much going on out here, then sometimes we can miss the point of the exercise. And where did it start? What did it tell us? It told us in the very beginning here. What was the plan? The plan was to have specialized knowledge. You said, well, you didn't say that. You said the greatest book of all time. The greatest book of all time will provide the specialized knowledge that you need. See? Now, doctors make a lot of money. Why do they make a lot of money? Because they've made a lot of training. Because they've dedicated a lot of years. There's so much to this thing. They didn't just jump up one day and say, hey, I think I'm going to go be a doctor. Let me go fill out the paperwork on this and go get me an office set up. Okay? We do this in business. We have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 6-month plan, a plan, a plan, a plan. Well, there's something else here in this book, and it brings up a good point. You've got to have an organized plan. What is your plan? Is Jesus Christ at the front of your plan? Probably not. Let's just be honest. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here this morning, okay? But the main thing we've got to do here in this situation is realize, you see, we've got to realize some things. And one of the big things we realize is that we've got a goal. And if we've got a goal, we can hit a goal. If I don't make a goal, I don't have one. Now, we're really good at setting a goal in the world. I'm the world's greatest at that, you know. Have a plan, make a plan, do this, do that. Well, when I sit down here and look, all of a sudden, guess what I figure out? I figure out that my plan's not very good because I hadn't written it down, and you almost got to write your plan and your goal down, right? But as a preacher, as a Gideon before that, as a Sunday school teacher for probably 20 years now, I don't have any written goals for Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Now, this here is a daily foundational stone for me because I love to get up and I love to do this. I love to share this message with you. And I hope that you jump right in here, okay? I hope that you get involved in this book called the Bible and start to learn some of these things. You see? But if I'm ever going to attain anything, I've got to write it down. If I'm shooting at a target, I see the center of the target. I see what the goal is. Life is the same way. If you don't put Jesus at the top of the target and put him first every single day, it might just be reading. It might not take you a chapter of the Bible of a morning. It might not take you three or four verses to get you set on Jesus every day. But when you do that, you're going to do so much better. Because Jesus is going to be in your life. Jesus is going to have first place. And see, he won't take a tie for first. He won't take second place. So there's a bunch more to this thing than just sitting around thinking that you got it figured out. Okay? Now, what's next? Well, in life is about decisions. And I saw a pretty good post from a friend this morning, and the idea about it, the decision-making process, deals with the fact that we make bad decisions and we make good decisions. You know, sometimes we do something and it doesn't work out very good. I have a tendency of making those. And I look at the worldly decisions I make and how they're wrong sometimes in business and different things, and I really believe that's the devil tormenting me because that I am trying to do something for Jesus over here on the side of Jesus first. So I believe everywhere that the devil can frustrate me, he tries to. And I'm encouraged by that, which leads me into the next chapter of the book, which is to be persistent. And I figure this is one thing that I have picked up out of Think and Grow Rich that I may not have seen in the Bible because I did pick up the persistence thing because it would have been really easy to quit and to quit doing things and to sit, okay, you know, to just sit in the office and say, hey, I'm just going to take an office job or I'm just going to take something easy, you know, I'm not going to worry about anything, okay. But there's something driving me to try my ideas. There's something driving me to try to do things. I look around, for example, at the foster care situation. They need thousands of homes, and there ain't no way. I'd love to build a one big complex for this, and it would cost millions. But it would be a place where people, where kids could have a home. And it would be their home. And the churches would come in, and people would be hired, and people would treat these kids like their own. And maybe we could blend in some nursing home, older people, you know, that are lonely, because there's a correlation with old people and kids. We call them grandparents, you see. And I think that there could be a great mix there of things that could happen, see. Now, I'm going to go a different route because I get over to chapter 10 in this book, and it talks about power is the essence of success and the accumulation of money. Listen, the power that you need today is the power to be in what Jesus Christ wants you to be. You see where we're going with that? The power today is you have the power to live forever if Jesus Christ is in your life. The power and the accumulation of money, I've had that lesson on here several times. Move over to Revelation chapter 20 or 21 where it says in the space of 1 hour, the whole world system that we rely on and that we're in love with today comes to naught. it is going to end. See, the true power in this world is Jesus Christ in your life. Now, the good news is most of us don't have any power, don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of things to sway us from what we need to be. Okay? So we're not as sidetracked as the wealthy people. I tell you what, if you've got millions of dollars, you've got millions of headaches. You've got millions of problems because you've got a tendency to believe that nobody helped you get there. You got there on your own. You got a tendency to believe that you don't need anybody. And it was me realizing I needed Jesus Christ. That's what put me in a position to surrender to Jesus. That's where my power comes from. So when I look around and I see people with all this arrogant attitude and all this craziness and, you know, worship me and you know, oh, he's the best basketball player, football player, you know. And I like good athletes. I like to watch the games. But these people have nothing in comparison with what Jesus Christ has and will give them and give us. And he's given it to me, and I'm happy about it today. I'm happy to be able to tell to have the things, the power that Jesus Christ has given me. He gave me the power to become the Son of God. Folks, there you go. Now, chapter 11 in this talks about the mystery of sex transmutation. Now, let me explain to you before you get all fired up about that. We as boys have a tendency to show off when the girls are around. Let's just be as honest as we can be. Well, that comes from this sexual transmutation thing. Not so much the transmutation at this point, because I'm trying to get some girls' attention. But there is an energy about us, that desire that is about us, the faith, the persistence, the push, power, the ambition. All these things can be good things for Jesus Christ if we curb them. If I take my sexual ambition and use it in my neighborhood here with all the women in the neighborhood, not only is my reputation shot, you probably will be shot by somebody's husband or whatever it might be, you see. So there's unbelievable power in just you being able to take the energy, okay, that comes from that, or the, you know, there's a something about your, I don't know even what you call it, but, you know, most men don't succeed before they're 40 for certain reasons, because they're chasing women instead of chasing the things Jesus wants you to chase, right? So, there we go. So there's so much to this, and you can take this book here and lay it right down below the Bible, right beside the Bible, and almost go through and take it all in. See, there's something called the subconscious mind here. And what I'm going to do, you ever sit and think on something of a day, lay down at night, and have a dream about it. Whatever I think on, that's where I'm going to be. Whatever comes through my mind, whatever goes through my mind, whatever, you know, I feed my mind, there it is, okay? Because there are some positive things. Having a desire to accomplish a goal is a good desire if it's the right goal. Having some faith that things are going to work out is a good goal. Having the emotion of love in your life, being able to love yourself, love other people, maybe love others more than yourself, you see? The sexual gratification, it's real, folks. I'm not trying to be nasty or whatever, but it's a real part of life. It's a healthy part of your life. The same thing for your enthusiasm. When is the last time you got excited about something? When is the last time you got enthused? See, we're not excited about Sunday morning going to church. We saw it as a day we should have slept in, but we feel a duty instead of an excitement. See, when you've got a duty instead of an excitement, you got a problem, whether it's your job or whatever it is. See, there's another little emotion there of romance there. Now you say, what in the world's going on with romance? Listen, there isn't a person alive that doesn't like to be appreciated. There isn't a person alive that doesn't like a conversation with somebody. I mean, I'm just being as honest as I can be. And then there's the emotion of hope. Okay? Now, I can take these positive emotions and I can live off of them because love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, a lot of these things here I'm going to get from Galatians 5:22, 5:23, which is the fruit of the Spirit. But so many times we have defeat. We grew up in our own situation. We're in Appalachia, like where I live, there's a lot of poverty thinking. And it's almost as bad as living in poverty because you might have just been close enough to see it and close enough to observe it, so therefore it kind of rubbed off on you. So what is all that? Well, let me just share it with you. Fear of everything, you know. There's some people afraid of being poor, afraid of being rich, afraid of everything. You know, it's hard to live like that. Well, Jesus can take that fear away, because when you start to realize you're going to live forever, guess what? Puts everything in a brand new perspective. Now, there's a lot of people that have trouble overcoming this next one. This is a dandy now, and it's jealousy. There's some people that are so jealous of other people that they just about cut their head off if they could, or if they thought they could get by with it. And it's such a heartbreaking thing, because jealousy is a hard one to get past. It's a hard thing to look at the jealousy thing and say, wow, you know, what can we do here? How can we work around this? Because jealousy can move up to a different level called hatred. Now you say, wow, it's hard to go anywhere from hate. Well, there is somewhere from hate even. See, when you start to hate people, Jesus said, love your brother with all your, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your brother and as yourself. Love other people like you love yourself. So if I just follow what the Bible says, I'm going to get out of fear because I'm going to see I have eternal life. I'm going to get out of jealousy because I see that I'm a son of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What do I have to be jealous of? And the hatred is basically forbidden by Jesus. He said, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. Can you get that into your head there for just a little bit? So guess what? We get into the emotion of revenge. Let me tell you a little something about revenge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That's what the Bible says. And then when I judge, I would judge wrong because I would judge off the emotions of fear, of jealousy, of hatred. See, it wouldn't even be right. When our God judges, it is accurate 100% what we deserve. So that's why we get verses in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23, where it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none good, no, not one. So we understand where we are when we surrender to Jesus. And it's a beautiful situation to understand this, because if I don't get the negatives out of my life, and I think Jesus, well, I don't think it, I know it. Jesus is the only one that can get rid of these things. Listen, the emotion of greed. What is greed? Man, there was a day and time all I wanted to do was try to make money. That's all I wanted. I wasn't interested in anything else. How much? How much? How much? Well, God's changed that. Would I still like to be somewhat successful in the business world? Of course you would. You always want to, okay? But there is a difference between give us this day our daily bread and I'm going to take everything you have and leave you poverty-stricken or dead. See, because greed is one of them people that, you know, when they say, what is your price? And they say, more. So whatever they have, they just want more. Superstition. Now, what in the world is the negative thing about a superstition? Well, we got people that are reading their Ouija board, there are people that are reading their horoscope, people that are living by the stars. We've got all these superstitions and all these different things that people are going by. And you got to realize this book was written 100 years ago, so it might be hard to find a comparison for us today, but there's been a lot of crazy beliefs, you know. And one of the negatives of life is believing the wrong thing, because if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm ending up in hell. So it's a real important thing to believe or to not believe in superstition and believe in the power of the living God. this one probably should have been elevated up there with fear, jealousy, and hatred. But the last one is anger. How severe is anger? Well, it's so bad and so severe that God said, don't even let the sun go down on your anger. Don't even sleep on your anger. Okay? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let me see what else we got here. Faith versus fear. We pretty much got that, I think. Fear of pop. Well, and here's worth noting, too. You know, we're going to have people that are going to be against us no matter what we do. Okay? At the bottom, if you really come back down to all the things that you're worrying about, you could worry about the fear of poverty, right? We talked about it a little bit earlier. But here's something we're really kind of concerned about is we don't like to be criticized. You know, there's some really good people who would make really good politicians, but they don't want to be criticized. So it takes a special person who doesn't care about being criticized to step up and say, hey, I'm going to try to do what's right here, and I don't care what you say. That'd be me, okay? Then there's another fear, and a fear of ill health. And one of the things in life, if you've had great health, you ought to count your blessings and thank the Lord, because there's so many people that have struggled every day with some kind of health problem. There's so much going on there, okay? Then we fear the loss of love or a loved one. You know, we have people that just have a hard time getting over the death of a family member or a spouse or, you know, and it is heartbreaking. And Solomon says there over in the book of Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, you know, if your heart's broken, there is a time to grieve, time to mourn, I think he said. But then there becomes a time to laugh and a time to rejoice and all that, you see. And there's the fear of old age, okay, and the fear of death. Let me tell you something. Let's just end it right there because that's the key to the whole shooting match. I have no fear whatsoever of death. Now, do I want to die in a fiery crash and suffer for those last breaths? No. But the ultimate fear of death that our society has had, we've all had that at some point. That ultimate fear is gone. Because the Bible tells me when I'm absent from the body, I will be present with the Lord. And so shall I ever be with Jesus Christ. So there is a beauty out here that I never had. There is a plan that I never had. There is a goal that I never had because I never thought about death other than hell when I was lost. But now that it makes sense and now that things come together, guess what? Jesus Christ loves me. And because Jesus loves me, guess what else we can do here in this thing? Because Jesus loves me, I can do things that I could never do before. Because Jesus loves me, and now because I've surrendered to him and I've proclaimed my love for him and put him first in my life, now he's got a plan that he's going to come back and take those that believe in him out of here, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We ought to get a little bit excited about stuff like that. Isn't it a wonderful thought to know that Jesus Christ, man, oh man, that Jesus has a master plan. Jesus has a master plan. What's a master plan, Jesus, for you to live eternally? What's a master plan, Jesus, for you to read the Bible and understand it? What's the master plan, Jesus, for you to realize that no matter what you're going on in this, going through in this life, Jesus has you covered. He's got you covered and ready to go to heaven at a moment's notice. Man, oh man. We should be about as excited as we can be on something like that. But what are we going to do about it? Can we do something? Will we do it? That's part of it, isn't it? What can we do? When are we going to surrender to Jesus and do the things he wants us to be doing? Man, oh man, we need to get it, don't we? So I hope that you got something out of today's message. I hope that there's something that that we've covered here today, and you can say, you know what? Now I understand. Now I see some of what God wants me to see. Because whatever you study and whatever you fall in love with in life, that's what you're going to chase after. But if you'll study Jesus and you'll fall in love with Jesus, he's still going to give you a job because he wants to provide your daily bread. So he's got to put you in a job somewhere or that prayer request won't be right. Right? He can't have you sitting around the house all day because if he does that, the idle mind would be the devil's workshop. Plus, can't pay your bills. He knows that you've got bills. He knows that you've got things out there. So I'm telling you, God's plan's better than your plan. And I know it's hard to see when you're right in the middle of it. But surrender to him here and see what happens. I think you will be pleasantly surprised. Have a great day.